This is Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Doug Hamilton, and thank you for joining us for our radio Main Street across North Dakota this time of day. And today we're going to begin our show by observing Hunger-Free North Dakota's 10th year, as we do every month on Main Street. And today our topic is going to be supplemental feeding programs like WIC, Women, Infants, and Children. And we're going to recognize that August is World Breastfeeding Month. And to talk about it with us today, Colleen Pierce, who heads the Family Health and Nutrition Division for the North Dakota State Department of Health, and Kim Hinnenkamp, who's the WIC Nutrition Services and Breastfeeding Coordinator for that division. They join us from our studio in Bismarck. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, thank you.
Well, Colleen, let's first of all talk about what WIC is.
Sure. So WIC is the Special Supplemental Nutrition Program for Women, Infants, and Children. WIC is a very successful public health nutrition program that provides wholesome foods, nutrition education, and community support for income-eligible women who are pregnant and postpartum. We recently had a baby. And for infants and for children up to their fifth birthday.
And Kim, how many people in North Dakota are helped by WIC?
Roughly, we have about 11,000 to 12,000 participate each month, roughly about that.
Well, that's a pretty good size number. What is the kind of the income requirement for qualifying for WIC assistance?
There's a couple of steps for eligibility for the WIC program. So first, a family needs to be living in the state, so they have to live in North Dakota, and they have to have a household income of less than 185% of poverty. So that really doesn't mean anything to anybody. But what it means is an example of a family of four can earn up to $3,970 a month, or about $47,638 a year to qualify for WIC.
And Colleen, is that just adjusted every year according to what the price of living, cost of living is?
Yeah, kind of, as a matter of fact, it is, Doug. Every year it goes up a little bit. It's not dramatically increased, but but there's that little bit. And then the third piece to qualify is also they have to have nutrition risk. So when they come in for that first appointment for WIC, we ask them health questions. We do a height and weight and hemoglobin, do some assessment on them, and then that basically sort of identifies nutrition risk for them as well.
Kim, elaborate on that. What are nutrition risks?
So what those are is that we ask them a lot of different questions about their health. So we ask about their medical conditions. We ask about what they're eating. We ask about things about their family environment. We take, like Colleen mentioned, we'll do a hemoglobin measurement. We'll do heights and weights to really kind of get a good picture of what's going on with the participant. And then based on everything that's done in the assessment, then staff assess that and then determine if there's things. So, for example, if a pregnant mom comes in and she has gestational diabetes, that would be considered a nutritional risk. If we have a child that comes on and they are overweight, that would be considered a nutritional risk. So, and it can just be for somebody that is might not be eating the best either. That could be considered a nutritional risk.
Kim, are there parts of the state that have more need of WIC than others?
I think really across the state, it's kind of, there's a need everywhere. I mean, we still have food insecurity issues and poverty across our whole state. So I think it's really necessary that we have this, you know, that we're able to serve, and glad that we're able to serve participants across the state in every corner, because we do see a need.
Colleen, is this primarily a federal program? Is there any state money in this?
No, there's no state dollars at all. It's 100% funded by the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
And the U.S. Department of Agriculture, of course, is huge. It covers all kinds of issues, including farm support and all that stuff. So how is that part of the farm bill then?
Yes, as a matter of fact, it is. And that's actually also part of there's a Child Nutrition Act as well.
So when the recent farm bill was enacted, and it took a long time to get there, was that good news or bad news for WIC?
As a matter of fact, it was, for the authorization piece, it was good news for WIC. We're still waiting on the appropriation piece. That obviously is always the next step, you know, in terms of the actual dollars assigned. But I think what we're seeing proposed in D.C. right now seems to be sufficient funding to handle the 7.3 million moms and kids that are served each year by the WIC program.
Kim, if somebody does qualify for WIC, How do they get the benefit? Is there some sort of a card they get, or how do they access the food
the
support?
Foods. So when they come in for their appointment, like we mentioned, they'll do the whole assessment piece. You know, we'll do all the screening for eligibility in terms of their income and those kind of things. And then what happens is the staff will work with them to develop a individualized, personalized, tailored food package for them. So WIC provides only certain types of food, and they have to meet nutrition requirements that are set forth by USDA. And then we will provide different amounts depending on the participant type. So if they're a fully breastfeeding mom, which means that they're not taking any infant formula from WIC, they'll get the most food versus a not breastfeeding mom that has just delivered. So then the staff will design that food package. Right now they'll print it out on checks, and then they'll take those checks to a grocery store in their community to purchase the foods.
Okay, so you've referred to breastfeeding, and August is World Breastfeeding Month. So let's talk a bit about that for a moment. I have been seeing more and more of these breastfeeding stations in public areas. Is that part of something that you are involved with?
Well, there's a couple different things with breastfeeding stations in public. Part of it has to do with there are some workplace requirements federally that certain agencies or certain employers have to provide for their employees. So you may have seen spaces that could be designated for employers. But there's also businesses are also trying to do things to make breastfeeding more easy for the public that are coming into different buildings, so that you may see that at some public places where they're breastfeeding friendly because they have a room available for the patrons that come in to be able to breastfeed. So that's another thing that and it's just we have so many across the country. There's so many more moms that are breastfeeding that really those places in public for moms as well as places for employees to be able to pump when they go back to work is so necessary to be able to help support them to continue to breastfeed as long as they choose to breastfeed.
Where I've seen them is at airports.
Yes, yeah. So that was actually a project that was a part of our North Dakota Breastfeeding Coalition. They had done that a couple years ago to put those stations in. And those stations, you can see them at a lot of other places in other states, not so much here, but in other states they'll have them at like venues for sporting events and those kind of things. But they just give a private place for both an employee and and the public coming in to be able to pump or breastfeed their child if they so choose to do that.
When I was a kid, I was a formula kid, and lots of baby boomers were, as
yes,
I recall.
Yep.
But when my kids were born, there was this sea change underway. So let's talk about the nutritional benefits, the health benefits of breastfeeding.
Yeah, so breastfeeding really is that perfect food made for babies. You know, it's made for that baby. It has all the, you know, the right amounts of nutrients that the baby needs. It has those antibodies from the mom, so it helps that baby be sick less often, and also really creates a great bonding experience with the mom and the child, as well as it creates other health benefits. We're seeing that moms that breastfeed, you know, there's less breast cancer for them. We're seeing babies that are breastfed, there's less chance of obesity as they get older. So there's just a lot of great benefits. And like you said, yes, there's been a huge change in terms of numbers of, you know, when you think back in the past, numbers of moms that were breastfeeding to now, is that there really is a lot of our moms are at least trying. We have issues when it gets to be duration just because of things like work and other barriers, but many of our moms in our state are trying to breastfeed, and that's great.
And around the world, I know there have been concerns occasionally raised about what is in infant formula that is sold. So.
Yes, well, and also the water concerns when you talk about across, you know, in countries across the world, you know, you have to either it has to be, you know, prepared like a ready-to-feed product, or there's water concerns too. Yeah, so yes, it can be an issue.
Colleen Pierce, as head of the Division of Family Health and Nutrition for the North Dakota State Department of Health, you have sent out a news release. You sent it out in June that your program was seeking public input for planning about the Women's, Infants, and Children Supplemental Feeding Program.
That's correct. So every year we have to write a state plan that includes goals that Kim prepares for our nutrition education side of things, as well as coordination, as well as working with our partners across the state. But again, always looking for input from both our partners and our participants. And that's one of the nice things, too. In addition to that, we also do an annual survey with our participants. And that tells us so much. It's one of the nicest things that I think we hear from the participants is how much they enjoy the program. I've been blessed over the years with, we have something like 60 local staff who provide services for our families across the state. And when we do these surveys, we get these great comments back from our moms that basically say, awesome ladies who give you options and educate, and WIC program is really great. And they use words like love. They love the program and love our ladies and those kind of things too. So it's a very, very well-received program by our families who have enjoyed participation over these many, many years.
But you get good ideas back too, some useful feedback?
We have. And sometimes we'll specifically look for ideas, especially like right now, outreach. We were looking for ways to get the word out about the program. It's such a great program. Need to get the word out to get more moms to think about it. And as you heard with the income, that income eligibility we talked about, that basically, you know, it's not just low income, it's that middle income households. And so, and as far as anybody can apply in terms of, it's like parents or grandparents or guardians or, you know, that basically lots of families can apply too, you know. But as a matter of fact, about 70% of the families that currently participate in WIC have at least one person working. So it isn't just, you know, for that low income. It's a public health nutrition program, and that's the part we like to emphasize.
Kim, is there any concern when these people present these checks for food assistance, wherever they purchase that food, a bit of a stigma?
You know, we hope that that's not the case, but we do know that sometimes it's more that they may feel that way. But really, we do, like Clean mentioned, we try to really stress that it is a public health nutrition program. You know, the food is part of it, but there's so much more to WIC. There's the nutrition education that we do with our participants. It's the breastfeeding support that we provide to our moms. It's just that ear to listen, you know, somebody there that can listen to what's going on with them and provide them positive feedback and give them, you know, sometimes the one positive comment that they may not ever hear in the course of a day, a week, or a month. That's what our WIC staff provides. We really try to promote that public health nutrition piece of it so that they, you know, feel like this is just, you know, those foods are prescribed to them to help make sure that they have a healthy pregnancy or that their child grows up to be healthy, versus that this is something because they need the food.
And plugging them into other resources too. So whether it's, you know, the public health immunizations, whether it's their health care, whether it's, you know, the other support services that they need, it's also a great referral source for us as well.
Well, Colleen, that raises the issue here of maybe you qualify for WIC on the normal circumstances, but if you need some other kind of assistance, does that change the sort of the formula that gives you access to WIC support?
Not necessarily changing that. It's one of the, we always talk about the three-legged stool in terms of what's offered as far as services. You know, the food package is the most visible part. Everybody's sort of aware of that. But referrals are really such an important part of that. We connect families with helpful services. So, you know, the food is only one piece of a healthy life, that basically referrals connects families with, you know, healthcare professionals like pediatricians or OBGYNs, or gets them plugged into services offered at public health like immunizations or car seats or well baby checks, or, you know, maybe connecting them with a substance abuse counselor, you know, if they're smoking and some of those issues as well. That whole sort of support network that comes along with the WIC is such an important piece as well.
Well, Kim, when we hear people just talking in general on the street or in the coffee shop or whatever about programs that are come under the loose description of welfare, sometimes we hear people talking about, well, when they go to the grocery store, they're just buying $100 worth of Twinkies or something like that. Is there a limit on the kind of food you can purchase with a WIC check?
Yes, actually, the WIC check is very, very prescriptive. So as I mentioned earlier, that there are only certain foods that they can provide, and the amounts that they can provide is listed on the check. So, for example, we provide fresh fruits and vegetables. We provide whole grain options, so either whole grain bread, pasta, rice, tortillas. We provide cereal that is high in iron, low in sugar. We provide low-fat dairy products like milk and cheese and yogurt. So everything is very, very much prescripted. Because of the fact that WIC is a nutrition program, that's why those foods have been identified as necessary foods for our participants who are in the stages of life that they are, pregnant, breastfeeding, you know, young children. And then those amounts are then based on national standards for amounts that are recommended for infants and children and pregnant women. So, yes, it's very, very much WIC has a strong nutrition focus, and it's intertwined throughout the whole program, but especially in the food package that we provide.
Well, as I mentioned, this is a continuation of our monthly observance of Hungry Free North Dakota's 10th year. And back in May, I remember we were talking about the garden project for Hunger Free North Dakota, and you just mentioned fresh produce. Aren't there parts of the state where this can be a little challenging to find?
It can be, but for the most part, our grocery stores seem to be able to have access to them. We don't give the amount that we provide on WIC isn't a huge amount. You know, it's between $9 or $10 a month, so it isn't a lot, but it is something at least, and it helps us when we talk about eating more fruits and vegetables. It helps to be able to give them a check to be able to do that. So I do know that it can be an issue, but I think for the most part, they seem to be able to access that amount with their check.
Colleen, let's just talk about the overarching issue here about how nutrition is generally good for the social well-being of the state, that this is an important service, but it also helps a kid learn in school and all kinds of stuff.
Actually, that's a very important point that you're raising there, Doug, because that really is one of the nice things about the WIC program is over the years it's been well studied. One of the things that they talk about is basically Kim talked about sort of providing those nutrients that are important for growth and development at those critical stages. What they found is that basically children who participate in WIC basically enter school what they call ready to learn, that they're basically, they're more healthy. And again, because of programs like WIC, there's reduced, there's healthcare savings and reductions there too. But again, we see less low birth weight babies. We see children who are more up to date as far as their immunizations and all of that. But at the end of the day, WIC is empowering parents and the caregivers to give them the tools to raise healthy, productive members of society. That information and tools that the parents get basically support the parents to be the parents that they want to be. And again, children who are participating in WIC, they're more likely to have regular health care, experience fewer childhood illnesses, and just a whole number of benefits as well. But at the end of the day, they're healthier citizens. That's it.
Kim, I had a couple of kids who, when they were young, were pretty picky about the stuff they like to eat. So does the program offer any assistance in sort of ideas, if you will, to help kids who are picky eaters?
Yes, and that actually is one thing that comes across a lot from our staff. They share that a lot of moms, personally myself too, as a dietitian, I ended up with one child that's a picky eater. So, but really, yes, they do. They will, when they, they see participants, every month or every other month, they come in for their appointments, they'll review their food package, and then they talk about concerns. And so if they bring up that, I'm struggling with my child, I can't figure out what to get them to eat, and then they'll provide a lot of different. We provide nutrition tips. We'll provide recipes. We'll help them figure out if there's some different things they can do with their food package. We'll do a lot to really try to help them figure out what would work best with them, and then follow up with them in the next visit and find out, did this work? Did that work? If it didn't work, let's try this. So it's really, the staff do a great job really personalizing that nutrition education with the participant based on their needs.
So the recipes even offer that particular support.
Yes.
Kim Hinnenkamp is the WIC Nutrition Services and Breastfeeding Coordinator for the Division of Family Health and Nutrition with the North Dakota State Health Department, and Colleen Pierce heads that division as well. Thank you both for being with us today.
Oh, thank you, Doug. Appreciate it.
Coming up on Main Street, Tom Ezern.